Now is the time when we have community announcements, and we're sad to share a couple of heavy announcements tonight. I don't know, Molly, did you want to?
Yeah, so I wanted to share Joe Seymour and Sarah Burke, or Seymour, who are part of our community. They found out on late Wednesday night, Joe's sister-in-law, Ashley, who is 29, I believe, had a pulmonary embolism rupture and ended up, they believe now, having a massive stroke. So she is in ICU on life support. She's already had multiple surgeries trying to see if she might be able to live through this. They find out late tonight or tomorrow. They ran another test to test her brain activity, so they're going to be finding out in the next 24 hours or so about that. And Joe and Sarah are really at a loss for words, but ask that we hold them in prayer. It's his brother David, his youngest brother's wife, and they are reeling and praying for a miracle and just really praying for discernment on what will probably be some hard decisions in the days ahead. So I wanted to ask that you pray for Ashley and Joe's family, the Seymours.
We also wanted to share Joel Musser was our children's teacher for a number of years. He also would always bring his sons with him to Amazeway, so they were part of our children's community. His wife, Mallory, and their three kids were in a horrible car accident this week. And on Tuesday morning, their five-year-old son, Leo, died. And so we wanted to pray for their family tonight also. So Brett is going to pray.
Let's pray. God, we sit here in your presence with kind of a loss for words that many of us have felt this week, and even more so in this space. As we are near to you, God, we just ask that you help us to have the strength and to see when we see things like this, as we find ways to grieve, give us peace. God, we just ask that you be with Joel's family as they are learning to live life anew, live life differently without their son. God, you call the children first to you. And we just ask that you be with them as they figure out what life looks like. As they figure out ways to make meaning out of this. I know you've surrounded them with people, but give them people that have the right words to say and know and can care for them and love them and show them your light.
Yes.
We lift up the Seymour family and We've seen families struggle with life and death situations here in this space. And help us to care for them, help them to know what to do, what decisions to make. God, we ask you for a miracle. We ask you to work through those doctors and those nurses that are walking with them. Day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute, God, we ask that you be with them, be with their hands, be with their family as they decide what to do, what kind of one of life's hardest decisions, to honor her life and to be in her midst, God. You are a God that sits next to us and weeps alongside us in the midst of this grief. But you're also a God of a new heaven and a new earth. There will be no more weeping, no more crying, no more pain. God, just be with us. Give us a way to care for these people that we love so dearly. And be in their midst. In your name we pray. Amen.
So we've said this year that we are trying to bear witness and reclaim kinship. And I believe that a big part of that, when you are drawing close to people, is that you have to be able to mourn and celebrate at the same time. And tonight we are here to celebrate Ben's ordination. And this is an important, wonderful moment in the life of our community, and we're so glad that you're here. I feel like ordination is like other celebrations that we mark with liturgy in this community, our minister's liturgy, baptism, child dedication, weddings even. In some ways, it's a formal, outward community celebration of realities that are already true. Ben is so thoughtful, hardworking, persistent. He's been pouring out and loving, serving, worrying about, caring for the people of Emmaus Way with a pastoral orientation for a long time. He listens to us, he leads us, he shows up for us, he pays excruciating attention to detail for us, he eats our Skittles, he does mundane tasks week after week, and he offers profound ideas about everything from the operation of our organization to our hope in Jesus. So in some ways, of course we're ordaining Ben tonight. We're just recognizing and acknowledging, celebrating a reality that has been already true for a while. But like those other rites that we celebrate here, when we publicly recognize and celebrate these important moments, it's significant. It adds community binding, and it adds a defined commitment. And that's really important, and that's true for tonight. As we joyfully celebrate Ben's call and his role with us, we lay hands on him and outwardly celebrate him as a pastor in our Emmaus Way community and through his work with Coalition in the greater Durham community, we recognize and celebrate this added layer of commitment of Ben to us and of us to Ben. And we're so happy and excited to do that tonight.
Hey, everyone. We're really grateful to be here tonight, celebrating our friend Ben. I would invite you to lend your voice, but I'll be honest, this first song is a little bit of a doozy, so if you can keep up, that's great. If you're that familiar with Steve Earle's discography, we should talk after. Walking down the Jericho Road, And every mile that I traveled showed, and I'm walking down the Jericho Road. I just kept walking, walking down the Jericho Road. The sunset red over fields of gold, and I'm walking down the Jericho Road.
Joshua fit the battle lines, how the story goes, and the walls came tumbling down. I know, but I'm walking,
walking down the Jericho Road. I met my mother walking down the Jericho Road, tears in her eyes and her head hung low. She was walking down the Jericho Road. I met my father walking down the Jericho Road, his back bent over from a heavy load, and he was walking down the Jericho Road.
I said, Papa, don't you know me? Won't you lay your burden down? He just shook his head and said, Bun, you better listen around me. Walking
down the Jericho Road. I met my brother walking down the Jericho Road, and his hands were bloody, but his face was clean, and he was walking down the Jericho Road. And I met my sister walking down the Jericho Road with a babe in her arms that I'd never seen. She was walking down the Jericho Road.
So I'm delighted to stand here and say why I'm here for Ben and why this is such a special day. Oddly, I've spent the week immersed in a story. It's Octavia Butler's beautiful, beautiful novel, Parable of the Sower, which talks about a societal collapse, one that actually is fairly imaginable now, where our economy collapses and there's really only a functioning world for people who have the highest and the most. And her story is a story almost of anger in one sense. As a pastor's daughter, she's rejecting the Baptist faith of her father, who she loves dearly. But a response to that collapse is forming a community. She forms a community not of belief per se, but one of mission and goodness. And in the title, ironically, a community of abundance in the midst of unbelievable scarcity. So, you know, my story is one of having some of that same anger and wanting to form a community, this beautiful group of people that looks like and resembles all of those things. And the thing about Ben that is so overwhelming to me, besides friendship and the faithfulness of Ben and his family and the wonderful people they represent, but as this community, there was a moment, a recognition, not last week and not last year and not 3 years ago, but way back, where I was so deeply aware that Ben actually not only loved this community, but cared for it, worried about it, was intentional about it, constructing it and loving it in a way that was greater than I could do it. His anger at what was wrong in our community, our society, was greater than my anger. His vision for what could be done about it was greater than my own vision. And so part of ordination is affirming not a change in the moment, but what has happened over time. And so I affirm that what we've all seen, that the evidences of these beautiful friends that we all know from the coalition and this amazing community, Emmaus Way, has been the vision of Ben's heart. And he has loved us. He has cared about us. And we are the abundance of his faithfulness. Ben, we love you. This is a wonderful night to be with you.
Hi, I'm Clinton Dreisbach, and I'm here with Ben because he has walked with me on my own journey in such a special way. Ben was the first person I met when I walked in the door at Emmaus Way. I assumed he was a minister. He had that cool preacher guy vibe going on. But I walked in, I didn't know where I was, this was a weird church, I didn't know what was going on, and he welcomed me in with open arms, and just took me as I was, and, you know, really walked with me for the rest of my journey. He's been a vital part of me coming back to faith. I'm not the only person who's ever assumed Ben as a minister. I think that probably happened to him a lot. I could just imagine him as a little kid walking around with the same look on his face, but I think he is he's not just, we're not just ordaining him because he's the right minister for where he is in life and for this time. We're in a time where no one knows what's going on, when it's hard to talk to people. And Ben, he ministers here at a church where we have lots of people with lots of questions, and we have people who are compelled by the gospel and people who've been hurt by it, all in one room. He helps run an organization where people whose lives have just been taken apart by violence and by the criminal justice system, he ministers to them as well. And when I first shared my story with Ben and he shared his story with me, I recognized something in him that I think makes him like this. He and I had a lot of similarities in our stories, and both of us come from places far away, not just in distance, but in sort of, 50 years ago sort of way. And, both of us, because of tradition and faith and all sorts of kind of overwhelming reasons, we have a real distance from the people that we grew up with. And when you're like that, it leaves this stretched hole that really, leaves a little broken place in you. I really needed someone like that to talk to, and Ben was that person. And I think that's what makes him really good at being this. And that's why I'm here with him tonight, because I recognized a brother there. And I just want to let, him know how proud I am to be here with him tonight and how honored I am that he asked me. You're an amazing person and you're doing wonderful things.
So I'm taking the mic over to the third member of my ordination circle.
Good afternoon, and please excuse me for sitting. But I'm here for Ben this afternoon because he's such a wonderful person. I met him through the coalition, didn't know who he was. I'm like, who is this man right here? And I say, well, he's the new executive director. I'm like, really? I didn't know Marcia was leaving. But I am so glad to know this young man. He has such a wonderful, humble spirit. He's just somebody that you can't help but to love. He's so caring within the community. He pours everything that he's got into the community, and he helps keep the coalition and the vigil team and all of us. When we get a little overwhelmed, Ben's spirit speaks, and so it's so calming, and I do appreciate it. And I didn't think I had anything to do today until he texted me yesterday. I'm like, because it's odd for me not to have anything to do. And when he texted me, I said, oh, yeah, I'll be there. I've been in church all day today. But that's how much I love and appreciate him. And I said, oh, yes, I'm coming straight from church, and I'll be there. So, Ben, I really appreciate you thinking enough of me to be a part of this process and journey. And the journey's not over, and I'm still going to be there, going to walk with you every day. And I just thank God for you.
My father could use a little mercy now. The fruits of his labor falling right slowly on the ground. His work is almost over, it won't be long, he won't be around. I love my father. Oh, he could use some mercy now. My brother could use a little mercy now. He's a stranger to freedom, he's shackled to fear and his doubt. And the pain that he lives in, it's almost more than living will allow. And I love my brother. Oh, he could use some mercy now. My church and my country, oh, could use a little mercy now. As they sink into a poison pit, oh, it's gonna take forever to climb out. They carry the weight of the faithful, follow them down. I love my church and country. Oh, they could use some mercy now. Every living thing could use a little mercy now. Only the hand of grace can end the race towards another mushroom cloud. And people in power, oh, they'll do anything to keep their crown. I love life and life itself could use some mercy now. Yeah, we could all use a little mercy now. Oh, I know we don't deserve it, but we need it anyhow. We hang in the balance between hell and hallowed ground. Use some mercy now. We were blessed by the minister who practiced what he preached. We were blessed by the poor man who said heaven is within reach. We were blessed by the girl selling roses, showed us how to live. We were blessed by the neglected child who knew how to forgive. We were blessed by the battered woman who didn't seek revenge. We were blessed by the warrior who didn't need to win. We were blessed by the blind man who could see for miles and miles. We were blessed by the fighter who didn't fight for the prize. We were blessed by the mother who gave up the child. We were blessed by the soldier who gave up his life. We were blessed by the teacher who didn't have a degree. We were blessed by the prisoner who knew how to be free. Oh, we were blessed. Yeah, we were blessed. We were blessed by the mystic who turned water into wine. We were blessed by the watchmaker who gave up his time. Oh, we were blessed by the wounded man who felt no pain. By the wayfaring stranger who knew our names. We were blessed by the homeless man who showed us the way home. Blessed by the hungry man who filled us with love. By the little innocent baby who taught us the truth. We were blessed by the forlorn, forsaken, and abused. Oh, we were blessed. Yeah, we were blessed.
Founders of Change Path Ministries. why am I here with Ben? I first met Ben at a religious coalition meeting on a Thursday. And I remember telling this young man whose warmth just drew me to it. And I was telling him about a sermon I was working on from the book of Amos, that justice rolled down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. And I could see that it just hit his whole soul. And we talked for a moment. But just a few minutes ago, in speaking with him and talking about his journey, he brought into mind an old gospel song that simply says, look where he brought me from. And when I listened to Ben and heard about what he was trying to say, and we were talking, when you look where he brought me from, when you look back at that, you can't just stop there and say, I've arrived right here and I'm all right. No, no, no. When it comes to Ben and he looks where he brought me from, that is the fuel for the fire that's in his soul. And I cannot help but be around a person who wants to muddy the water in a mighty way. I believe that Ben is intentional about his walk with God and how he holds the hands of people that need, he needs to hold those hands more than they need to hold his. And that's a beautiful thing. So I'm here with Ben to encourage this movement of a man who is going to do some things, and he don't know yet what a wonderful person that he's going to be in this community and what he's doing. I tell you, it's just a beautiful thing to be with him and to walk with him. I cannot imagine this coalition without Ben in any way now. And he never seems to just think about himself. I've heard him speak. I heard him speak at a breakfast the other day. He was talking about justice for all. And so we need to be we need a lot more Ben. This is why I'm here.
I have a personal rule to never talk after Alan, but for you, Ben, I'll do that. My name is Dave Crisfell. I'm the ED and co-founder of Jubilee Home. The first time I met Ben, I ran into him and Ruthie having a meeting at the co-op soon after Ben was named executive director of the coalition, and I immediately knew four things about Ben. He was too young, he was too white, he was too male, and he was not Marcia. It may strike you as odd that I noticed those things about Ben. But my relationship with Ben would soon show to me that I was too white, too male, too young, and not Marcia as well. As, like Ben, I found myself the head of an organization that optically I didn't belong the head of. I think me and Ben, we were both called to these places that we thought we could kind of wade into these waters of justice and see what the temperature was and get used to them, only to find that there's no shallow end in the waters of justice. There's only the deep end. And we were both called into the deep end, and for some reason, we both foolishly jumped into this deep end about the same time. And we were fortunate, and I think I can speak for both of us, I hope so. We were fortunate to find each other flailing, trying to stay above water in these places that were maybe too deep for us. And we found that we could at least flail together for whatever good that would do. But it's been wonderful in the last couple of years. I recently preached on Lazarus, being raised from the tomb. It's really been on my mind lately, and I've just come to this recognition of the work and the places that me and Ben spend time. These places where there's a lot of darkness, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of things that we don't have to reckon with unless we're in those places. And there's also this deep, deep joy and community and love in these places that we miss out unless we're in those places. And I think I've come to realize, me and Ben are both the head of these organizations where we can be Jesus in that story, right? We can call Lazarus out and we can send him on his way free because we've saved him. But the deeper you get into these places and the more time you spend in those deep waters, the more you realize you're gasping to hear Jesus call you out. You're longing for Jesus to say, come out, Ben. Come out, Dave. And it's in those places that we go that we actually get to hear that, and then we get to experience as our community members take that next line from Jesus where he tells the community, unbind him. Unbind him. And so we find ourselves in these places we don't belong, and we stand out. We stand out for many reasons. And yet we get to feel these tender touches as our neighbors who are in pain, who we've come to help unwrap our wounded, our cloths of death and whiteness and privilege and wealth that have kept us from them, kept us from knowing their touch. So while I'm not officially affiliated with eWay or the coalition in any way, I'm here because I've been walking this journey with Ben these last couple years as we learn with and from one another what the heck we're being called into and how the heck do we do this. And it's my joy and privilege to do that with you.
I'm Brandon, and when our family first showed up at Emmaus Way, I had just finished a doctoral degree, and first time I met Ben, I found out he had dropped out of a PhD program. And I didn't know whether he was foolish or much smarter than me. These days, I'm feeling like he's much smarter. And I can say that because it's easy to sit in this moment and see how far Ben has come, but I'm sure 6 years ago, you didn't know what God had in store for you. And even 3 years ago, I remember several times hanging out in the music department at UNC as you played jack of all trades to every faculty member that asked anything of you and feeling like that was not what your life should be, and yet not knowing what the next step was. And so we watched Ben take a step into to the future where he didn't have anything necessarily waiting for him. I also watched as our lead team had him as a lay leader in which he kind of held this community together and then step off and us try to figure out how we were going to keep going without him and quickly deciding to make him staff. although unpaid, right? And he was willing to do that. He was willing to take that call. So it's been a long journey, and I wrote something up. I'm going after two or three very eloquent speakers here, I felt like I should probably write something. And so I wrote a little meditation called Has Been. I'm here for Ben because Ben has been. Ben has been here. Ben has been here with me. Ben has been here with my family. Ben has been here for our artists, and Ben has been here for our staff. Ben has been here for the dialogue. Ben has been here for the table. Ben has been here for lead team. And Ben, we know many nights, has been there for pub group. Ben has been here for Emmaus Way, but Ben has also been here for Durham Can. Ben has been here for lay leadership, and Ben has been here for his small group. Ben has been here for listening sessions. Ben has been here for facilitating as a facilitator at large. Ben has been here for the Religious Coalition, And Ben has been here to hold vigil in the darkness. Ben has been here to welcome returning citizens home. Ben has been here to pick up the chairs that we are all sitting upon. Ben has been here to field our many complaints. Ben has been here to list all the bullet points. Ben has been here to produce all of the bulletins. Ben has been here to run this soundboard. Ben has been here to curate our music. Ben has been here to paint this room. And I'm noticing we got to get to work back there. Ben has been here to throw parties. Ben has been here to man the grill. Ben has been here to make the coffee. Ben has been here to celebrate. Ben has been here to minister. Ben has been here to counsel. And Ben has been here to discern. Ben has been here to mourn. And Ben has been here to laugh. Ben has been here to camp. And Ben has been here to hike. Ben has been here to sing. And Ben has been here to love. Ben has been here. Ben has been. And so I'm here for Ben.
I once heard Ben describe, I guess I can just about say a fellow minister now, as somebody who people look to in a number of spaces for what to do with their feelings and for support. And Ben intentionally wants to be in spaces and steps into a lot of spaces where he's responsible for responding to people's complex feelings, or people think he is. And that's not normal, but I think it's important. Ben seeks out spaces where people have a lot of complex feelings and where the answer isn't always clear, and where people are looking for a response and are looking for someone to help them figure out what that response is and what the support is. But he does this, and he looks for these spaces not because he thinks that he's the right person to answer all of everything or to save everyone, but because he wants to be in those spaces and help figure it out together. So he does all of this with humility, and I think that that's also really important. That he's answering this call that he feels with humility and not with the idea that he knows what to do all the time. Early on at Emmaus Way, when I started coming, I really admired the way that Ben put words together in the service. And I appreciate that he does that really well, but also doesn't take up a lot of space in doing that. And I think that the space that I know Ben best from is pub group, and I know that this is true for pub group, but I think it's true in other spaces that Ben is in, that Ben is always on the side of the person who's being left out, and is really good at bringing them back in. But he does that in a way that's graceful and genuine and heartfelt, and not at all artificial. And it's also, I think I should conclude by saying, it's unusual for someone who is so serious and so thoughtful to be also a lot of fun to be around. But I think that's true for Ben. And so I'm here because Ben asked me to be. And of course, you know, I'm honored.
It's not often that when I get up to sing in a faith community, I feel like it's a violation. But yeah, tonight I'm feeling conflicted about interrupting this flow of love and affirmation. Cool. Glad we said that really publicly. Yeah. My feet are strong, my eyes are clear. I cannot see the way from here, but on we go. He knows the way, and in his arms he keeps me safe. Fear not, keep on. Watch and pray, walk in the light,
tonight. Keep on watch and pray. Walk in the light of God's highway. I see the shore from troubled sea. This tiny ship that carries me, and it is not yet, but it will be. So heaven come, it's you we need. Fear not, keep on watch and pray. Walk in the light of God's highway. And I'm holding on to you, Lord. You're holding on to me, and I'm holding on to you, love. You're holding on to me, but fear not, keep on watch and pray. Walk in the light of God's highway. And fear not, keep on watch and pray. Walk in the light of God's highway.
Ordination of Ben Haas is multiple reasons. First of all, I'm here out of gratitude, grateful that Ben has this extraordinary mind that is connected to his heart, that he can speak about what I consider unspeakable, unreasonable, immeasurable, edgeless love of God. I will never forget being in a restorative justice circle, and we were talking about integrity and what it means, and Ben so beautifully, and I'm going to screw it up because I don't have his beautiful way with words, but he talked about how we're that integrity really isn't about being all put together right. Integrity is recognizing that we're all broken, and that in that brokenness we can be held together by our values, by our acknowledgement and the reality that we are loved beyond measure, that we are boundlessly connected to one another. I am grateful for Ben because that he's being ordained, because he recognizes that nothing is done alone, that everything that we do together. And he is, from what I hear from the board and what I hear from the circles or committees that I participate on or nearby, he's just a marvelous leader. And that leadership, I think, is best exemplified in his ability to his ability to be patient with rambling hearts, hurt heads, decades of injustice that have created cultures that have been so misformed by not following God's instructions, that to imagine healthy relationships is really kind of impossible. And yet we seek those relationships because we must, because that's where love grows. And Ben's ability to be with anyone in this community and to be that kind of quiet, graceful listener who can then put what is said and I mean what is really said together into a coherent response is astounding, and it's beautiful, and it's highly unusual. And for that, I am exceedingly, infinitely grateful that he's being ordained. And lastly, I just am so thrilled that Ben's going to be, I could go on actually for hours, but I will finish up by saying I'm infinitely grateful for Ben because he is so much fun. And he can laugh just so easily. He delights. He delights in us. And I think that if there was one description of God, it would be delight. So I see that in all that Ben does, in all that he is seeking to have God's love in all of its many forms and manifestation and joy be magnified through his life, through his ministry with us. And for that, I rejoice.
Good afternoon to everyone that I haven't spoken to. My name is Marion Bailey, and my comments are very similar to Reverend Annette Love. Ben has this quiet, open, approachable, loving spirit, and he welcomes you in such a way that you find yourself opening up to him and telling him things. And I've said to him, and I will repeat it again, Ben thought he planned his own life. He had his own output, and he was doing all these things, and it was all Ben's plan, but God had a divine plan for him. And it's been laid out from him, I believe, for most of his life, because I, like some of the others, when I first met him, I saw all of that in him. And when that happens, it's not about us. It's all about God. But he leads in such a manner that he's easy to follow. He doesn't mind sharing, talking about, and he has a passion for young people and a passion for more senior people. And I'm just believing if we take care of the youngsters and if we take care of the seniors, the middle can work itself out. But, he just, the other thing that I like about him, I've been through a lot for some of you that didn't know, and he's busy. I had kidney surgery, and I've been out for a while, and I had deaths in my family. And Ben calls me. I'm just getting home. I'm apologizing for calling at 10:30, but I just needed to be sure you were all right. And it's just the kind of person that he is. He just cares for people, and he has what I believe there are people who are called to the ministry, and there are people who just go. Ben was called. And because to be a good pastor, you got to listen to your flock. To be a good pastor, you got to lead by example. That means when we're putting the chairs down, taking the chairs up, he's involved in it too. But those are the kind of things he worries about, the sick. And there are pastors in this town that I know firsthand don't do those kinds of things. So a pastor is a person that takes care of his people. But Ben brings that same love and kindness to all of the organizations that I work with him in, and I am proud, and I gratefully accepted this honor, and I am thankful to God for allowing you to be a part of my life. And I believe that if you continue to listen, God is going to do some great things for you and Emmaus Way. Thank you.
Where else would I be? Over the past 3.5 years, I've come to find a dear friend, a colleague, a co-conspirator in this work of the gospel, who knows that Jesus is not to be confused with a simple, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, but believes in the embodied, flesh-enveloped Jesus who fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy that the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Ben himself burns with a deep, ardent fire on a low burn, knowing that the inability to be angry at injustice shows a lack of compassion. He knows the rule of love, that it is not a feeling, not sentimental and anemic, but rather a robust, intentional choice to not let fear rule over us. He knows that there is no loving God without loving the neighbor, that there is no loving the neighbor without loving the enemy and the unlovable. And he knows and has made his life's work to stop speaking about humanity as if it's monolithic, but instead chooses to live into Ruby Sales' truth that we've got to wrap our consciousness around a world where people bring to it vastly different histories and experiences, but at the same time, a world where we experience grief and love in some of the same ways. So how do we develop theologies that weave together the I with the we and the we with the I? So many of our lives here have been interwoven with Ben's by that same Spirit of the Lord that Jesus proclaimed and fulfilled so long ago. And we're here because as our lives have been interwoven with his, we've come to know that all these things spoken tonight are true. That is why we're all gathered, to affirm his gifts and say to the world that Ben has said yes to the Spirit of the Lord that has been upon him ever since he was a little boy. And he has said yes to the mystery and love of God in whatever space and place it may take him. For his entire life, Ben has been willing to be moved by that same Spirit, and now, on this day, is open to that Spirit ever present in ordination winds. Thanks be to God. So now, as the kids are coming in, we're going to partake in the liturgy of ordination, and I'm going to come to the middle. Author and priest Barbara Brown Taylor tells us, if my own experience can be trusted, then God does not call us once, but many times. There are calls to faith and calls to ordination, but in between, there are calls to particular communities and calls to particular tasks within them. But we are not meant to hear them all by ourselves. It was part of God's genius to incorporate us as one body, so that our ears have other ears, so that our eyes other eyes, minds, hearts, and voices, to help us interpret what we have heard. Throughout this entire process, it has been so important to Ben that it is not about him this day, but it is about the people, his communities that have been ears alongside him, eyes, minds, hearts, and voices as he has journeyed. And so we, the community of co-ministers at Emmaus Way and the Coalition and other places, a people captivated by the gospel, are called to one body, so that our ears have other ears, other eyes, minds, hearts, and voices to help us interpret what we have heard and to be a community gathered in the name of Christ and committed to the following practices. If you would recite in bold. To imitate Christ,
thought, word, deed, and affection, to pursue simplicity and sustainability in our relationships to time, resources, and environment, to come alongside God's redemptive work in Durham as partners and participants in the embodied justice of the beloved community, to foster proximity and mutuality through the practice of storytelling among our fellow ministers, seeking beauty and abundance in the diversity of God's kingdom in our midst, to cultivate a communal life centered in the practices of prayer, intentional conversation, spiritual discernment, dialogical study of Scripture, and creative liturgy, to shape our life together around the radical hospitality of our religious table.
Ben, your community has affirmed these vows and has affirmed you and your gifts, and now is when it really becomes all about you. So, Ben, yeah, we can stand. We didn't really talk out these logistics as we planned the night. We talked everything else out. So, Ben, in addition to these co-minister vows, is it your belief that God has called and gifted you for ministry? Then do you commit yourself this day to the trust and responsibility of being a minister of the gospel?
I do.
Will you be diligent in your pursuit of God?
I will.
Will you be true to the example of Christ?
I will.
Will you be faithful to the gospel of grace?
I will.
Will you serve the church of Jesus Christ? And you, people of God, having heard Ben's commitment and witnessed his walk of faith, what is your desire?
To ordain him as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to empower him to serve all God's people, to encourage him with our blessing.
Amen. Okay, so Ben, this is where it gets fun, and we're going to like lay hands on Ben. So I think... What if you, Ben's going to stand here, and everyone at this time, please bring your bulletin or share with a neighbor, because there is more reading. Just gather around Ben and lay hands on Ben or a neighbor, and we will all gather close. Scripture tells us that Christ spent the entire night in prayer before he chose and sent forth his 12 apostles. Likewise, the apostles prayed before they appointed Matthias to be one of their number. Let us therefore follow their examples and offer prayers and blessings for Ben to God as we ordain him for the work to which we trust the Holy Spirit has called him. Let us pray. Loving God, in the name of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, we now set apart your servant Ben for the work of ministry.
Great conflict that traveled with you on your journey of faith. On this night, we affirm God's work in your life and ordain you to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We are the voices of conviction, echoing those who first called you to faith. With deep care and concern, we have given you an imagination after God. God, and bear witness to others with the same conviction as we have witnessed to you.
We are the voices of love formed from the family that surrounds you. With unyielding sustenance, we have embodied the love that God extends beyond condition. Go forth and love others with the same depth of devotion as we have loved you.
We are the voices of challenge formed from the dear friends who surround you. Through conviction, we have summoned you to think and act outside of the comfort zone. Go forth and challenge others with the same spirit of friendship as we have challenged you.
We are the voices of the oppressed, formed from those outside of the community of faith that surrounds you. With a passionate need for liberation, we have awakened you to the service of reconciliation. Go forth and seek justice for others with the same ferocity of need as we have called you.
We are the voices of partnership, form from the fellow ministers who surround you. With a shared spirit of vocation, we have traversed with you betwixt the desert of unbelief and the waters of life. Go forth and walk alongside others with the same breath of compassion as we have walked with you.
Ben,
may you continue to know God's generous love and care for you, even as you offer yourself as an instrument of God's love and care to others. May you be surprised by God's light when you need the illumination of divine guidance. May the passion you feel for your calling give wholeness and life to your vocation. Above all, know that no matter where your call may lead you, our prayers will surround you, Christ's peace will go with you, and God's love will sustain you. This is our assurance and hope. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Amen. Everyone can have a seat. But kids, I hear that you all have a really special ordination gift to offer Ben.
We made Ben a stole, and we were talking about the laying on of hands and what that is and what it does, and so we put our handprints on a stole for Ben. Ben does not care for stoles, but we think this one he will love. And so, guys, do you want to tell him what's at the bottom? Obviously, our handprints are on it, but what's at the bottom? Yeah, Ben knows what's at the bottom.
Skittles.
Skittles are at the bottom. So there's a stole for Ben.
We're going to sing one more song together. We invite you to lend your voice.
Stand up when you have a stole on, but I'm not going to do that. I was going to put Psalm 39 in tonight, and I feel like I need it right now. I am silent. I do not open my mouth, for it is you who have done it. That you could be God, that you could be this community gathered around me tonight is a strange, strange thing to speak after listening to all of that. But I give you this from Luke chapter 24. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. But later, as they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." And so he went to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found even the 11 and their companions gathered together, and they were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he's appeared to Simon." And they told of what happened on the road, how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. We're back here tonight at this table, and this ordination moment for me, and I can't begin to imagine making it here apart from Emmaus Way. I've often compared coming to Emmaus Way to jumping off a cliff. Amanda and I weren't entirely sure exactly what we were getting into. And it was a drastic move for us given our backgrounds, and we were desperate. And the landing was nothing like I expected. And it was better than anything I might have hoped. For these past 10 years, Emmaus Way has been a beautiful, gentle space for wrestling with the pent-up questions of my first 25 years. Which all kind of add up to, really? 3 generations deep in a fundamentalism that can't imagine a community, that can't imagine most of God's world, to tell you the truth. Really, God's going to speak to us about this world? And I've found here in this community of faith that finds these truths more apparent and vibrant when we seek them in community, and finds that sort of truth around this table. And I think I've found God. And I think I've found God. This table is the space. It is the space when you are 3 generations deep, where you're entirely welcome. It's the space when you meet your family walking the other way. You better turn around, son. It's still open to you. It's the space when you are the person who was knit in your mother's womb to be. And it's still a secret to you yet. But others can begin to see it. You're welcome then. When people, I would count myself lucky to be, stand up and speak of what is good of God in you. It's a space that can hold that. It's a space when you look back and wonder how in the world you got over, it can hold that with you. It's a space when you are being pulled up out of the grave by the people who are supposed to be pulling up out of the grave, it can hold that. It's a space when you've been in so many ways for so long, you've forgotten why you're still being, it can hold that. When your feet are strong, your eyes are clear, and you do not know the way from here, this table can hold that. When love holds you in ways that don't make sense, where then, when there is nothing to do but delight. This table is that sort of space. And not because we created it, but because it's the exact same thing that I've found in Marsha's kitchen and on Alan's porch and all over this beloved town. Because the same fiercely relational God we've declared weekly around this open table, a God incarnate and still within, surrounding for all of us in ways that interrupt the very idea of in and out, us and them. Stubbornly, surprisingly present in the absences between me and every other, in the chasm between our best imaginations of this city and our worst experiences of it, forever inviting us out of the fractured scarcity of what we know, what we're right about, and the wholeness and free abundance of what already is, calling us to be one even as God is one, and the love that is the very foundation of this world. This is a table where we can discover that. And wherever you find yourself on that journey of knowing or unknowing, or certainty or confusion or brokenness or fullness or wholeness or rightness or confusedness, all the nesses, all the issities, they're all here, waiting for you in a space so bound with God's love and presence, with the great love that is part of any community we would imagine. It's here, and it can be held here. The reason I love this community, why I can imagine putting these organizations together, all this work together, ending up here after 35 years of really a pastor, is because we have caught a vision of this table and what it is and what it can be. And coming back here week after week to remind myself, to remind you guys that there is a space that full and free, that's a gospel worth being a minister of. So it's that table I invite you to tonight. We've got bread, we've got gluten-free crackers, again. We've got juice and we've got wine. And as we always do at Emmaus Way, we say that who is here matters. Like I said, who I'm with matters. I couldn't have heard all those voices tonight nearly so well if I couldn't imagine a table like this. So gather around and break bread, break a cracker, pour juice or wine for each other, saying the body of Christ broken for you, for all God's beloved people. The blood of Christ shed for you, the love and light of Christ for you. I invite you to that table tonight with gratitude for all that has been and will continue to be in this community and this city and the God that is knitting us further together even tonight and ever forward. Welcome to the table.